All right, praise God. So good to hear all the stuff that's happened with the youth. And it is so good to hear some of the things. There's going to be drips and drabs of this still coming out over the next couple of weeks. But to see the young lives changed. Some of the youth are not here tonight, so it'd be great to hear some of their testimonies if they'd like to give a testimony. And again, special thanks to, all you guys that put it together and all the behind the scenes blood, sweat, and tears, man. I tell you what, Michael's going, yeah, that's good. And Liam and Geneva as well, and Mel. So, blood, sweat, and spirit. Yes, okay, we'll do it that way. Look at, I've got a very special couple that we've known, Pastor Moran and I've known for a very, fairly long time, actually. Since the mid-90s or whatever it is, we met Pastor Ray and Carol Gale. They're from, it used to be Toowoomba, where? Redland, Queensland. And we have so appreciated their lives over the years. We haven't met a whole lot in the course of knowing them all those years, but there's periodic times where we've gotten together, either at an AFCM meeting or some other place where we've met with them. And I just want to say, you've got two people that are sitting here that are so fed income with God, and they're real honest-to-goodness people. And we so appreciate your lives. And even though we haven't seen you a whole lot, Ray and Gail, we've heard some really good, Carol, right? Sounds like. We've seen things and we've heard things about you and how you're taking care of God's business wherever you guys have gone. And what I like about them especially, though, is they've been steadfast friends with us for years. And, there's some people that change. And sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot to change people, especially in ministry. These guys are rocks. They're solid. And we have so appreciated knowing you guys all of these years. And, they're doing some great things. I think Pastor Ray is going to be sharing some really good nuggets tonight for us. And I hope you have your ears open. But before I have them come up, come up so we can pray for you. And I'm going to ask Sue Ellen, is that all right with you? Can I just ask you to pray over these two? They're going to be going, are you going back to Queensland straight off this week? Okay. And, whatever works that you're going to be doing, and again, if you could pray for them for God's deliverance for his message tonight. So love you guys.
Father, we thank you for this faithful couple, servants of the Most High God. Father, we thank you for the word that will come forth from their belly today. Lord, deep from the spirit of this man of the living God. Father, I just thank you for the anointing that's on their lives. Father, that gifts, a man or woman's gift brings them before kings. Father, I just thank you for the work that they have done, they have established, and the things that you have yet to even be birthed out of their bellies. Lord, I just pave the way in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would go before them and be their rear guard. Lord, I just thank you that you look upon their lives and you are satisfied with the work of their hands. Father, I just thank you for the good things you've done in them and the things that are yet to be done. Lord, we look to you for a great word from this couple tonight. We bless you, Lord, for them. We thank you that you have opened the doors that no man can shut. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep firmly shut those doors that no man can open. And we thank you, Father, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sue Ellen. I've got one more thing to say. Pastor Ray and Sister Carol gave me, there's MP3s and there's DVDs here. There's a bunch of them. They range from, CDs. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know. they said that they just wanted people to take them. wherever they go, a lot of times they just give the gospel away. They're the kind of people that they're not out to make profit. They're not out to do this or that. They just want to get the work of the Lord and His word out to people. And there's a great sacrifice that has been on in and through their ministry over the years. Stories probably they could just go on for the next several weeks if they wanted to stay that long, if they could, and tell us about those things. But I'm going to ask, instead of just giving these away, take a look at them, see what is on here. If you have any questions, see Pastor Ray or Carol. But if you could just maybe make a donation, or if you want to, whatever you want to give them for these CDs and MP3s, I'm sure that you'll be blessed. And I'll tell you something. A long time ago, we had the church debt. This is the man here, Pastor Ray, that did a series on the parables of Jesus. And after it was all paid for and all done, after everything was over, the mess that had happened, I got one of his series out on the parables of Jesus. And within 5 minutes of listening to them, I shared this before, the Lord showed me where I made the mistake. That's through the simple preaching of the word. Not that God's going to show you necessarily mistakes, but sometimes we need things that are in and from the word of God. And God has his people that have been putting seed out. And sometimes they are just giving seed out and nobody really wants to take care of maybe just blessing them. So I know we're a church that gives. If you can do it tonight, if you want to take one and leave a donation, if you want to just give it into their hands or put the money in these bags and leave the bags, take the MP3s or the CDs, and leave some money in them. All right, Lord bless you, Pastor Ray. Good friend. Are you both coming up?
Hey.
Carol.
Bless you.
Yes, sir.
Who's taking it?
Oh, I don't need it.
Well, you're chicken.
No.
Look, it's so great to be here tonight and just catch up with Pastor Chuck and Pastor Marianne. And thanks for having us. And I just want to say that, encourage you tonight, that with all the things that are going on with the world around, just look up, because your redemption draweth nigh, and comfort one another with these words that Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And just one other thing, that when you talked about the parable of the sower, Ray has got a website, just Ray Gar Ministries, just put that in, it'll come up, I think. We're not real good with these website stuff, but that's put it in. And he's actually got the parable of the sower now in book form that can be downloaded free. And it's a terrific teaching. And Jesus said that if you understand the parable of the sower, or if you don't understand the parable of the sower, then how can you understand all the other parables? And so there's keys in that parable that are foundational to your everyday walk with Jesus. So I just encourage you, you know, plug in, have a read, and you'll be blessed. And it's all free.
Well, bless God. He is a good God, isn't he? The Bible says that he's good to all and all the time. God is good. Let me first thank Chuck and Marianne for having us here. I don't believe we're here tonight by accident. I believe we're here in the timings of God. And I'll have some things to say tonight. And if in 3 months' time somebody says, you remember that fellow that was here? And you say, well, I can't remember him, but I can remember what he said. That's what I want you to do. Remember what I say. It doesn't matter if you forget who I am, because this word of God has the potential and the power to change our lives. And I count it a privilege for these guys to open up their pulpit. When I had the church back in Toowoomba, I was in Darwin, I was in Gulgandra, pastoring, and I was very, very careful who I let behind my pulpit, because they can influence, sow stuff into your people. And we need to be sure that the people that we let here are people that you trust and are going to bring a word that is accurate and true. I take it very, very serious, the privilege that I have to minister the word of God. I believe that I'm a teacher from the word, and I believe that teaching does two things. It either establishes you in a new truth, or it encourages you in a truth that you already have. So either way tonight, hopefully that on both accounts we're able to do that and to be able to minister the word of God, and it will establish you in a new truth or encourage you in the truth that you already have. I was born again in 1964. I was about 18 years of age at that time. So if your maths are any good, that makes me about 71 today. And I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. I didn't believe anything about the Word of God. And I met my wife, and she sort of got me to go to a evangelistic crusade. Anybody heard of Oral Roberts? Well, Oral Roberts, he used to have a man here in Australia by the name of Norman Armstrong. Norm Armstrong was the minister that night that I went along, and I heard him preach the gospel. But what he said was that Jesus Christ died for you. And that hit home that night. Jesus had died for me. I began to personalize what it said. I didn't understand a lot about what was said on the night, but I do know that when I went out the front, I came back different. When I received Jesus Christ on that night, it changed something on the inside. I used to often wonder what there was with life, what life meant. And I'd sometimes lay in bed at night and think about that. But when I received Jesus Christ, I didn't really know too much about the Bible. And it took me a while to learn about the Bible and the principles from the Word of God. But I began to have something on the inside that had changed. And I knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that something happened on that night. That Jesus Christ had come into my life. And it changed my life from that day on. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that was a tremendous change in my life because it gave me the power to live the life that God had called me to live. And I'm just ever grateful for the time that I come to know the reality of Jesus. I was telling Chuck there today that my dad was an unbeliever. When I got born again, I remember we used to go and preach in an open-air meeting in the main street of Coffs Harbour in those days. And my dad came to me and he said, "Son, these people have brainwashed you." That was right. They had washed my brain. I didn't believe in God. Now I did. And he said to me, he said, "You can believe whatever you like, but don't ever come and try and push it down my throat." I said, "That's okay, Dad." So we prayed for him, and we'd say something during the time if we could. But when he was about 88, somewhere around that time, I led him to the Lord. And so some things take a little longer, but the bottom line is that now he's in heaven. God has been so good to us over the years. I grew up really in poverty. We didn't really have much money when we were kids. My dad earned, I think, 7 quid a week. And there was 4 of us in the family. If we ever got sixpence to spend, we thought we had a fortune. And it was very hard growing up in that sort of a lifestyle. We learned that if you get all you can all you get. And so that money was something that you didn't get a lot of. And if you got it, when I first got born again at 18 years of age, I thought if I put 10 cents, 1 shilling in the offering, I'd put a fortune in there. Because money was really hard to get a hold of. And if you got it, you'd like to keep it. And I used to say it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I used to think about that and think, well, I just couldn't figure that out. Because if I had it, I had it. But if I gave it away, I didn't have anything. And so to learn the principles, and one of the first principles I learned was on sowing and reaping. And I went on to become a licensed builder. I often think about it. When I went to school, I failed English. I failed woodwork. I wagged scripture. I ended up being a builder. Ended up being a preacher, and I found out I had to know something about English to understand the Bible. And so God can turn things around in your life. And when I became a builder, I went from earning virtually nothing. I can remember working for when I got born again, a builder, a bricklayer. And I worked for him I was married, had one child. The basic wage in those days was about $70-something dollars a week. And over the 12 months, we averaged $34 a week. That was hard. But God was good. And within a little while, I ended up going into the building trade. And when the basic wage then for a builder was about $400, I was earning about $2,500 a week. And the bank manager said to me one day, he said, "I just do not understand what you do with all your money." And I said, "I spend it." And we could bless people. God was just so good to us. It changed our life, turned around, because we'd learned some principles from the Word of God that we believed and put into action. And you know that I come back to the Word of God and I think this Word has the answer for every need that you ever have. Whatever the need is that you have, there's an answer in the Word of God. I read where Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." We need to take this Word of God, and we need to understand and get a revelation of it so that it changes the way we think. So that when we think different, we'll act different. The Word of God has got to be more real on the inside of you than the things that are around about you. And we sometimes think, "Yep, I know all that." And you know what I always say, you know, when I stand to preach the Word of God, you might think, I already know that. But you know, there's lots of things that I find that I know, but I'm not using those principles in my everyday life. It's one thing to know what God says. It's another thing to make that work in the circumstances and the situations that you come to in life. And I'm very repetitious when I preach. I say to the people, I say, you might think that I don't know anything else, because I can preach this stuff over and over and over and over. When I went to school, they taught me by repetition. I learned the times table by repetition. I learned how to read by repetition. I learned how to spell by repetition. When I was only a young fellow working, I was working for a while in an engineering place on a radio alarm drill. And it used to take 3 minutes to bore one hole through. So when I clicked the drill in, I had 3 minutes to read Scripture. And I had little cards, and I'd read them, and I'd read where they come from. And I just didn't want to know what it said. I just didn't want to know where it came from, but I wanted to have the reality of it working in my life. I meet people and they say, "You know, I've read the whole Bible through from cover to cover." I say, "I've never read the whole Bible through from cover to cover." And I think about it and I say to them, they say, "Oh, I can read 2 chapters of the Bible and get absolutely nothing out of it." And I said, "Well, you'd be better off to read 1 verse of the Bible and get a revelation of what it says so that you can make that work in your life." And you know, we need to study. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to go through the Bible and get a scripture from it, get the revelation of it, and understand what it says, and then make it work in your life. That's why you went to school, so you could learn principles and laws from life and use them in everyday life. I understand if I say 7 7's I know that that's 49 because I learned that when I was a kid. I took it and put it down here into my subconscious mind so that I can draw from it. You know that how many thoughts you can think in a second? 50 thoughts per second. They tell me that it's even greater than that. When you study the Word of God and you put that in on the inside of you, you can recall that from your subconscious mind and think what the Word of God says as quick as that. And you see, you can't draw out what you don't have in. So we have to take the time to study the Word of God and get the laws and the principles from the Word of God down on the inside of us. I was thinking about this tonight, and I'm thinking, what do I preach? And I have heaps. But you've got to condense it down because you're only here for a little bit of time. You know what it means when a preacher takes his and has a look at his watch? You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. So, doesn't mean a thing. I think they quoted the parable of the sower. And it does say, if you don't know this parable, we read things and we just read over them. If you don't know this parable, how then shall you know all parables? I read that one time and I stopped and I thought, if I don't understand and know this parable, how then shall I know all parables? It takes 25 weeks to preach on the parable of the sower. But let me just say this. It says the sower went out to sow the word, the seed. The sower is the preacher. The seed is the Word of God. If you take the parallel of seed, a seed has the potential to reproduce and bring forth the manifestation of the life that's in the seed into reality. In the natural realm, if you have a pumpkin seed, it has the potential to reproduce and bring forth pumpkins. Because the life is in that seed to bring forth after its kind. If you take a tomato seed and you plant the tomato seed, it will reproduce and bring forth the manifestation of the life that's in the seed. It will reproduce tomatoes. And remember he said that the sower went out to sow the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. And I began to look at this. And I understand that if I take the Word of God, it has the potential to reproduce and bring forth the manifestation of the life that's in the seed in my life. When I got born again, and I read over in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, it says that if I will believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. See, that seed has the potential to reproduce and bring forth the manifestation of salvation in my life. If I read the scriptures from 2 Peter 2:24 that says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, that scripture has the potential to bring forth the manifestation of healing in my life. It'll reproduce. It'll bring. The life is in the seed. And you see, it says, and over, we have to understand, Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 says that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a principle that is there that gets us born again and into the kingdom of God. But it's a principle that will work the same over and over and over again. That if we read what it is that the Word of God says and believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth. Now the word confess, we think that confess is just to say something. The word confess, the Greek word there is homologio. Homologio is a compound word. It's made up from two words, homos and logio. And these guys are school teachers. I'm just sprouting now because I want them to see that I did learn something about English. Homologio. Homos means the same. Logio means to speak. Compound them together and you have homologio, or to speak or to say the same thing. Homos is where we get the word homo from. Homosexual means the same sex. So when we get homo, the same, logio, to speak. So what he was saying there was, if you'll believe in your heart and say the same thing with your mouth. See, when we believe something on the inside of us, we need to speak it with our mouth. That's the law of faith. That's saying what it is that we believe. What happens then? It releases the power of God on what it is that we believe, to let the power of God. When I got born again, I believed that Jesus Christ was the one that died for me and that God raised him from the dead. That's what it says. If I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. Now, what you've got to understand with that particular verse as well, the word saved comes from the Greek word sozo. And the word salvation comes from the word soteria. If you want to look it up and see what the word saved or soteria means, they're identical. It's everything that Jesus Christ purchased for me on the cross of Calvary. It's not just getting born again. It's inclusive of being born again. It's inclusive of healing. It's inclusive of prosperity. All these things, peace and joy, they're all a part of my salvation. Salvation is the noun. Salvation is what is contained. But saved is the verb. It's the fulfillment of the salvation, or what is contained in the noun, being fulfilled in my life. And so when I come to what it is and I understand that my salvation is all that Jesus Christ purchased for me, not just getting born again, not just getting healed, but it contains everything. The rapture of the church is the last thing that we will partake of on this earth that Jesus Christ provided for us when he died on the cross of Calvary on this earth. We rise to meet him in the air. That's a part. And how do we receive, if we can understand? See, we don't just get healed because we got saved. We get healed because we have a believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth what it is that God has provided for us on the cross of Calvary, and we see the power of God released to bring that thing into manifestation in our life. You don't see a glass there? I just brought back some really old thing that I learned when I first got born again. We had a friend, an evangelist, and he'd say, "Knock, knock. John. John the Baptist." There you go. Hey? What? No. Sorry. So what we've got to understand, you've got to be reverent in here. What you've got to understand is there are laws and principles in the Word of God. The law of faith is to believe in your heart and speak it with your mouth. What are you speaking with your mouth? What you believe in your heart. What do you believe in your heart? What you've got from the Word of God. It's a law. The Webster's Dictionary says that a law is an established principle. It will work the same every time. So the law of gravity works the same every time. The law of aerodynamics works the same every time. The law of faith works the same every time. But you see, what we have to do is believe in our heart and speak with our mouth. You can speak with your mouth all you like, but if you're not believing anything in your heart, it's not going to bring it to pass. Because when we believe it in our heart and speak it with our mouth, it releases the power of God to bring forth the manifestation of the life that's in the seed. Now you see, sometimes we look over in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, well, I'll tell you what it says. It says that these things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. These things, this is the Word of God, were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What is hope? If you read over in Romans chapter 8 there, it says, if we've received it, why do we yet hope for it? Hope is always futuristic. Hope is an image that's created on the inside. Hope is something that I can see on the inside that God has said is mine, but I yet haven't received it in the natural realm. These things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience, in other words, patience is steadfastness, it's staying the same until that thing becomes a reality in my life. These things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So in other words, these things, if I read what the Word of God says, it will build an image on the inside of me until I see the fulfillment of that thing come to pass in my life. Because if I've got an image, if I can see it, if I'm speaking it with my mouth because I believe that what God's Word said is true, it will release the power of God to bring that thing into a reality into my life. Like we read sometimes, some things we've read over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. So if you've got something that you're hoping for, and say you've read the Word of God, and it's built an image on the inside of you so that you can see this thing. I'll just come back to that. You come back with me. I want to read you something from over in Genesis, chapter 13. Abraham's here and God has just separated him from Lot, and Lot had chosen the land that he had. And God said in verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And he says, arise, walk through the land in the length, the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Now that's not exactly what... I started a verse early. In verse 14 it says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from it, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Then he told him to arise, walk through the land, the length, the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. God had made a promise to Abraham. Number one, he said, have a look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And he says, all that thou seest will I give to you. And go and walk through it. I always say Abraham had and the Old Testament had a book of promises. No, they had a promised land, sorry. We have a book of promises. They had a promised land. We have a book of promises. He said to Abraham, have a look. All that thou seest, I will give you. To us, we've got a book of promises. And if we can see it, God will give it to us. You know, we don't spend enough time looking through the Word of God to see what it is that God has given to us. He said to Abraham, if you can see it, I'll give it to you. Have a look, he said, from where you are. Look to the north, the south, the east. Look in every direction. As far as you can see, in every direction. If you can see it, you can have it. Now walk through it. God's given us a book of promises. But you see, if we look through, it doesn't matter where we look, if we can see it. Remember, hope is an image that's created on the inside. When I read the Word of God and begin to meditate in what the Word of God has said and begin to build an image on the inside and I can see that thing, I can have it. I said in Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's not a dwelling upon, it's not dependent upon the sense realm. Because he said, now faith is the substance. What does the word substance mean? I heard a guy preach for a whole sermon on substance. He said, substance is stuff. And you have to get a hold of the stuff. And when he was finished, I thought, how do I get it? How do I get the stuff? Substance is stuff. The word substance is hypostasis. Originally, if you go back, this word meant title deed. If you had the hypostasis, you had a title deed. It was a description of what you owned. It gave you the legal ownership of something. And if faith, that which I'm fully persuaded about, if you understand what faith is to be fully persuaded about a divine truth. Look, I could go so many places. A guy in my congregation came to me one night and he said, can you tell me the difference between faith and believe? What's the difference between faith and believe? And I said, to be honest, I can't tell you. I didn't understand what the difference was between faith and believe. So I went and I got the concordance and I went through the books and it said, faith is a firm persuasion. Faith is being fully persuaded about a divine truth. Faith is a conviction that's based upon hearing. I thought, well, that's what faith is. So then I looked up believe. What is believe? Believe is to be fully persuaded. Believe is to be fully persuaded about a divine truth. Believe is a conviction that's based upon hearing. And I thought, they're both saying exactly the same thing. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis. Believe comes from the Greek word pisteuo. And they both said exactly the same thing. I thought, well, there's got to be a difference. And so I looked at it and I looked at it. And had I been more attentive when I was in school and learnt the difference between a noun and a verb. Faith is a noun. I read the Bible and then I look and I say, the Bible says in James, faith without works or corresponding actions is dead. It's like the body without the spirit. It's dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith is a noun. It's a description of something. Believe is when I put what I'm convicted about and act upon what I have faith in. You've got to get it going here, faith and belief, because they're hard. We use them and we intermix them. But faith, if I read the Word of God and I'm fully persuaded about what God has said, if I never act upon what I'm fully persuaded about, nothing happens. It's like faith without corresponding actions is dead. I have to act upon what it is that I'm fully persuaded about. So when I say, I look at it now and I say, faith is to be fully persuaded about a divine truth. Faith is being fully persuaded about what it is that God has said. Faith is a conviction that's based upon what I've heard. When I act upon that, that's the verb. I'm now acting upon what it is that I'm fully persuaded about. When I go over to Hebrews chapter 1 and say, now faith, what do I say? Faith is the substance, or faith is the title deed. Faith, what I'm fully persuaded about, gives me the ownership of the things that are hoped for. Hope is the image. This is something I can see. I don't yet have it, but I've got an image on the inside. And you have to continually keep that image alive on the inside. Circumstances change. You go through life and you'll find circumstances in life change. But the image that you've got on the inside that's been built from the Word of God has to be greater, because it's not based upon what our sense realm tells us. I hear people say, well, you know, the senses are not good. The senses are good. I need the senses to live in this natural world. So what I see, what I hear, what I feel, they're related to the things that are around about me. I have to be able to see. I have to be able to hear. Sense realm is good. But when it comes to the Word of God, what it is that God has said, that comes from the spiritual realm. Understand this. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that Jesus spoke, they are spirit and they are life. Those words are alive. They come from the spiritual realm. This natural world that we look and see was created by the spiritual realm. And when I take the words that Jesus said, those words come from the spiritual realm, and they have the potential and the ability to change the things that are in this natural realm. Understand that. So if I get an image on the inside of me of what God has said, so if I've got sickness in my body and the Word of God said, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And I build an image so I can see myself walking in health. I can see my body corresponding to what it is that God has said. The thing on the inside is more real. The natural realm, the sense realm, will report what's happening in this natural body. But I've got a word that comes from the spiritual realm that can change what's happening in this natural realm. I was telling Jack and Marianne, look, on Australia Day last year, I fell 12 and a half feet down flat on my back onto the concrete. Number L1 disc was crushed and fractured. Number 5 was popped. And they found some other things and they said, you will never work again. And I said, I'm going home tonight. And they said, you won't go home. Look, within a week, definitely by 2 weeks, I was back in the hospital, and they could not believe that I walked into the place. In 6 weeks, well, less than that, I was back to work in less than that. And within 6 weeks, I was back in the building trade and doing jobs again. Why? Because there's something greater than what the natural realm. They've got the x-rays. They showed me. They said, we want to show you. This is what you did. This is what you had. You should be in excruciating pain. You should not be able to do anything. And you're telling us you don't have any pain. Why? Because I had an image on the inside. The Word of God said that he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. See, I can believe what these eyes report. They're the senses. They'll report back to me what I can see. My body, what I feel is what the sense realm reports back and tells me what I'm feeling in my body. But the image on the inside is greater, because they're words that were spoken from the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm created that which is in the natural realm. And you can change what's in the natural realm if you can see what's in the spiritual realm. Can you see it? You've got to let the Word of God build an image on the inside of you so that you can actually see what it is that God has said. It's more real to you. And then you've got to speak out of your mouth according to what God's word has said. If you believe in your heart and confess, say the same thing with your mouth, you can change. It releases the power of God to change the circumstances and the situation. I said to you at the beginning, what's it mean? A preacher looks at his watch and I forgot to look at mine, so I don't really know. I've probably been here and said enough tonight. But look, I'm just going to finish with one scripture. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. I had that scripture for many years. That's all I heard. I'd never looked it up because I knew it, because I'd heard people quote it. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And one day I went to have a look at it, and that's only half the scripture. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish, but, headmaster's here, but is a conjunction. It joins what's about to be said to that which has already been said. So you can't take where there's no vision, the people perish, but if you don't read the rest of it. But he that keepeth the law, the word there for law is Torah. It's the first four books of the Bible, something like that. Five books of the Bible. First five books of the Bible. Where there's no vision, the word vision is better translated oracle or revelation. If you've got a Amplified Bible, you'll find that it says, where there's no vision or redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. The word perish means to let something slip through your fingers as by ignoring it. In other words, a redemptive revelation is a revelation of what you've been redeemed from. Without a redemptive revelation of God, the people will let slip through their fingers something as by ignoring it. Now, we have to understand that word of God has the potential to build in you an image and a hope for every situation. And you have to get a revelation. You have to meditate in the word of God until you build an image on the inside of you that is more real to you than anything that you can see in the natural world. Without a redemptive revelation of God, you can read and say that, you know, the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. And you can repeat it like a parrot and it doesn't mean a thing to you. But if you've got a revelation, I know that by Jesus Christ paid the price 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. If he was bruised and whipped that I can be healed, if he bore that for me, then I don't have to bear it today. I need to have a revelation. Sickness should not dwell in my body. I need to take authority over that sickness and command life to flow in there, and that every area of darkness is gone out of my body and that I am set free because the power of God is released. Without a redemptive revelation of God, the people will let slip through their fingers something as by ignoring it. So I can say to you tonight, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Jesus has paid the price. If you never get a revelation of that, you let something slip through your fingers as by ignoring it. But he that keeps, that word keepeth is shamah, means to guard and protect as a shepherd would over his sheep or his cattle. Now, a shepherd guards that sheep or cattle and protects them so that he doesn't lose them. So it says, but he that keepeth the word or the law, happy is he. That word happy means to be prosperous in temporal things. Doesn't just mean money, but if I'm prosperous in health in my body, That's a temporal thing. That's something upon this earth. So we need to take the time to study the Word of God. Because whatever you can see, if you walk it out and make that part of your life, you release the power of God till that thing becomes a reality in you. I said I was finished. Let me just say one more thing. He'll give me 5 minutes. 5 minutes? Put your hand up if you give me five. It's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. We've got 35 minutes. Now, I'll just say this. I'm gone. I said God will supply all you need. We went through a situation with our youngest daughter. It was through the family law courts. It cost Carol and I $250,000. That just about flattened us. And I needed, the law court stopped our daughter from moving from Toowoomba to Redland Bay. We had the house at Redland Bay. She couldn't move there to live in it. We couldn't move there to live in it. We had to stay in Toowoomba. We needed a house. We didn't have the money. And I said to God, God, I need a house here in Toowoomba. It has to have enough bedrooms, has to have a yard, has to have 2 bathrooms, and I don't have any money for it. That's a big ask. My grandson worked for Shine Lawyers. He rang me up and he said, Grandpa, you are looking for a house. And I said, yeah. And he said, Shine Lawyers have got a house, and it's right in the middle of the CBD. And they need someone to be in it for a nominal rent. And I said, I'm interested. I needed this house for as long as I was in Toowoomba. So I went down. I had to satisfy the requirements of the court for my daughter. This house was 2 stories, 5 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, kitchen, garage, locked up yard. And the guy said, you can have it for 3 months. By 3 months. I said, that'll do. Because, and I said to my wife, I said, we will have this house whenever we need it. This is 7 years later. And they said, would you be happy to pay $10 a week? And I said, I would. So we still have the house. I have my house. We're living at the coast now. But I still have the house in Toowoomba that I go to every week. We hold our meetings up there. And God has just been so good. $10 a week. He said he would supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm foolish enough to believe what he said and speak it with my mouth and believe it in my heart. God has just blessed us abundantly. I say to people, I don't pay the rates. I don't pay the water. I just pay the electricity. And I've had it for about 7 years, all right? And God has just been so good. We still have need of it. I want to just encourage you tonight. Just go to what the Word says. God said He'll bless you in all that you set your hand to do. Just think about that. Just meditate upon that for a week till you get a revelation of it. And if you can see it, that's what God said. Don't build your thing on fantasy. Build it on the promises. If God has promised it, that makes it believable. And God watches over His Word to perform it and to bring it to pass in your life. I tell you, God is a good God. That's what I learned that when I first got born again from Oral Roberts. He used to always say, God is a good God. Expect a miracle every day. I say, every day you get out of bed, have a look in the mirror and say, look at yourself. And say, something good is going to happen to you today because I serve a good God. That can become a cliche, but it's a reality. You believe it, and it's alive on the inside of you. That comes from the spiritual realm. God said He was a good God. God is good to all and all the time. God is good. Thanks for the opportunity to come. And look, I just want to say, these CDs, I say to people, what the truth that's on these, money cannot buy. And you can't afford them. That's why I have to give them away. And so I really don't need to have a donation. I really don't need to sell them. We'd like to bless you with them. And if you want them, come and get them and be blessed. and let the Word of God, because the Word is a seed. Think about it. If a seed has the potential to reproduce and bring forth the manifestation of the life that's in the seed, then every scripture is a seed, and it has the potential. But it's got to be believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, and you'll see the power of God released to bring that thing into being in your life.
Can I just really quickly say one thing? I thought Ray was going to say this, but he didn't. But when he was, he was saying in the beginning, and he worked for a bricklayer, and we didn't earn much money, and you know, it was tough. I mean, someone gave us some, mutton flaps one day for the dog, and Ray had told me, "Don't you ever serve me mutton flaps after we get married, because my mother cooked them all the time." Anyway, I took these mutton flaps home that this lady gave me for the dog, and Ray looked at me and he said, "The dog ain't getting these. We're having them." But Ray said to me during that time, I said to him, "We can't afford to tithe." And Ray looked at me and he said, "Carol, we can't afford not to tithe." And so I honoured him. I was pretty unbelieving about it all at the time. And I honoured what Ray said and honoured the word. And I thank God for a husband that just gently led me in the ways of God. And so we tithe. And God hasn't let us down. And when we went through that family law court thing, I tell you what, God was just so, so good. And miracle after miracle. I haven't got time to go into it, what happened, but, you know, oh, I tell you what. Our little granddaughter, when she was 7 years old, went through some really rough stuff. And they wouldn't leave her leave Toowoomba, and we were down at Redland Bay by the beach one day in the car, and she looked at me, she said, she was eight then when she said this to me, she said, "Granny," she said, "I feel like the children of Israel when they were taken captive into Babylon." She said, they couldn't leave, and I'm not allowed to leave Toowoomba, and I feel like a captive. She said, "But God delivered them, didn't he, Granny?" And I said, "Yeah, did, darling." And she said, "And God's going to deliver me." And I tell you what, it took us 4 years, but those kids have been delivered. And we've just been down while she's been playing football for Queensland or for an hour, and she's doing really well. She's already been in the Young Matildas. She's doing really well in everything. And our grandson's doing well after everything I was saying. He wants to be a school teacher and head towards being a headmaster. He's in grade 11, just been, you know, named school captain. I mean, God has been so good to us with what they went through. But anyway, there's so much stuff there. But just be encouraged, you know. God, we serve the God of the impossible. He's a miracle-working God.
So we appreciate these guys.
We're going to pack up in a minute. We need to pack up. But Ray is not the pastor of this church. So I'm asking you if you could make a donation for these. Tapes, take them home. What you heard tonight is just a little itsy bitsy teeny weeny polka dot bikini of what the Word of God is in these. Amen.
And we're going to pay for your petrol at least.
We'll leave these here, okay? They're over here.